the Word with you. And if you wanted a little sheet, how many wanted one of those and didn't get one? Would you like an outline for this morning? Okay, ushers, can you kind of distribute some more? I put together a little outline so that you could take better notes, and I'll actually make reference to those points so that you can write them in, especially when we start dealing with the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, right? We know about the nine fruits of the Spirit in the New Testament, but these are the nine fruit that we talked about last week. So that's listed, and then also my scripture references, and I think it'll be helpful for you, and ushers are coming, so be patient. Now, what we're doing today is we're discussing how to conquer compromise. How to conquer compromise, okay? So, ushers, if you could help us and maybe recruit some people and pass out some more. There's hands up here, hands here, like all over the place. So we want to make sure that you get it. So I'm going to begin in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 out of the Passion Translation. Okay, while you're getting your outlines, and that's not very exhaustive, so you're going to have to take notes, but nonetheless, I thought this might help you follow along. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. Now, let's focus on this verse. This verse is essential in where the body of Christ is right now. Here we go. Your inward life is now sprouting. Matter of fact, instead of me reading it, let us read it, okay? It's up on the screens. Let's try it. Ready? All right. Your inward life is now sprouting, bringing forth fruit. What a beautiful paradise unfolds within you. When I'm near you, I smell aromas of the finest spice of my fruit growing within your inner garden. Next verse. There you go. Here are nine. Pomegranates of passion, henna from heaven, spikenard so sweet, saffron shining, fragrant calamus from the cross, sacred cinnamon, branches of scented woods, myrrh like tears from a tree, and alloys as eagles ascending. Now, if you ask the average Christian about those nine fruits in the Song of Solomon, most of us have not been introduced to them. Last week, we were pretty exhaustive in trying to define them. I'm going to review them just a bit so that you have it there before you and you can remember. But understand that these fruits are what attracts the presence of Jesus in your life. This is what He's looking for. You and I are His private paradise garden. Okay? So look over at somebody and say, you're His private paradise garden. Come on, tell somebody. I want you to say that because even as the Father longed to fellowship with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they walked daily in that garden, so does the Son, Jesus Himself, long to fellowship with His brethren, with the family of God. And He's attracted to these aromas as they begin to grow in our life. They let off the fragrance of Christ. This is so important for us to begin to understand. Why? Because in this last days, we're seeing a transition in the church, and aren't you glad? It's all about Jesus. Right? It's all about Him and getting to know Him and developing a passion for Him and a desire to be known by Him. So when we think of pomegranates, and this is on your little answer sheet, you might want to write next to it, it's known as the passion fruit. So when Jesus is coming to your life, He's looking to measure your and my passion for Him. So you want to see where your passion level is on a scale of 1 to 10. You say, well, my passion for God, honestly, is maybe a 3. Or, wow, my passion for God, it's a 9. I'm so passionate, it'll make me get on a bus and ride all the way to Akron to meet new Christians. You see, passion will cause you to do things ordinarily you would skip out on. Now, I'm not saying you don't have passion if you don't get on a bus. Some of us don't do buses. Can I get a witness? All right. Henna. Henna is what we call the mercy fruit. It's the mercy fruit. So when Jesus comes, he's looking to see how mercy is emerging in your life. Mercy. It's sort of like the parable of the one servant that was forgiven. And then when he went to forgive another, he refused, even though he was forgiven of much more. He had no henna. He had no mercy. So you and I need to operate in great mercy. It's part of the attractiveness that brings the presence of God. Spikenard. We said that spikenard is actually a derivative in the Hebrew for light. Light. Nard is light. Spikenard is what you would say revelation fruit. In other words, you're reading the Bible and you're getting understanding like you've never had before. Scriptures are jumping out at you. Have you ever read a portion of the Bible and you read it and you go, oh my gosh, I never saw that before. This is awesome. How many have ever experienced that? Right. And there's going to be more and more and more of that as the days continue. Because God wants to reveal secret things to those that have passion and who are walking in mercy and who love the light. Who love the light. Number four, saffron. It is that which is we call the obedient fruit. It's whatever God is declaring, whatever God is saying, I'm going to do it. If the Word of God says I need to do this, then I'm adjusting my sails. I'm not arguing it. I'm not debating it. I'm not going to rationalize it. I'm not going to try to get six people to agree with me and trump the Word of God. No, I am going to align myself in perfect and total obedience. Calamus. Calamus of the cross is how we listed it last week. Calamus is a fragrance that speaks of the redemption or the purchase of Christ at Calvary. So it is a redemptive fruit. Here's what I believe about calamus. God's people who are really pursuing him in this hour are people that can't hold grudges very long. They can't go in unforgiveness very long. They can't begin to hate anyone for very long. Why? Because they have calamus blossoming. It's an inward blossom. It's redemptive. Everything about them is redemptive. Everything about them is a purchase back for what the devil had taken from them. Cinnamon. I love the cinnamon aspect. It means set apart fruit. Set apart fruit. Meaning I am set apart for divine service. Therefore, when the enemy comes and tempts me to engage in something other than divine service, I recognize that I have a blossom of cinnamon. I have a blossom that says to me, I am set apart for divine service. So I can change the channel. I can leave the conversation. I can think another thought. I can look the other way. How many know what I'm talking about? It is from the inward part. Frankincense speaks of an intercessory fruit. Intercessory fruit. I'm just going to tell you now, there is an emerging church who is crying out day and night before the throne of God. And it is filling up the bowls of incense in the heavens. Through worship and prayer, those bowls are about to be poured out. And I just tell you, I believe Northeastern Ohio is prime candidate for a breakout of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I know that God is moving in lives and the enemy is doing everything he can. But you know what? We are going to prevail because we have a passion for God. We have a mercy growing. We have hunger for revelation. We are walking in obedience. We redeem back what the devil has stolen. We are set apart for the divine service of God, and we are making intercession. We are praying God's word, myrrh. It's the denial of self. It's a denial of self. I'm learning that it's less about me and more about Him. It's not about what I want. It's not even about what I need. Because I refuse to take control over what I need. Because my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If I step in and start manipulating to meet my need, I trump His lordship in my life, and suddenly He now says, okay, you want that? You want to live with that? Okay, go ahead. But I had something greater. I had something in mind that was going to blow your brains, but because you want to take control, go ahead. How many are ready to relinquish control? Woo! I'm ready to relinquish control and let God, amen? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, let go.
Let go.
And let God. Number nine. This is just a review. We're going to get into the sermon in just a minute. This is just the front porch. Alloys. Alloys. We spoke last week about how Christ's garment was saturated in myrrh. We talked about Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Why? Because there God commands the blessing. He said it's like oil being poured down upon Aaron's head, down his beard and onto his vestments. Did you know that the high priest's garment was always passed on to the next priest? Now that's important. Do you know why? Because the myrrh or the anointing on the previous priest was now on the present priest, and the present anointing on the present priest was mixed with the previous anointing of the previous priest. Do you know that this morning when you and I walk in faith in Christ, we are clothed in a robe of righteousness? We walk in the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the anointings that have been on the earth are all met in Christ. You know how powerful you are this morning? Yeah. Come on, look at somebody and say, I got a feeling I'm sitting next to somebody that's awesome. Now, don't get up in their business, but at least look over at them and go, wow, you smell powerful. And I hope that's the case. I hope you got some good smell on. Don't be lifting up your arm, let me get up under there. No, no, no. Now here's the beauty of this text. As this is expressed, as this is laid out for the body of Christ, the maturing bride, Jesus, the bridegroom, now issues a statement that the body must respond to. He says this in chapter 2 and verse 10. Come away with me. Come away with me. December 2nd. God spoke and said, disconnect and connect to me in a new level. I said, God, that's awesome. And now we're past 60 days of disconnecting. We're coming away with Him. And we're finding ourselves living in this world, but not of it. We're finding ourselves having to do the duties of normal, natural life, but our connection is really a heavenly one, and our spirits are constantly yearning for that connection and that worship and that interfacing and intimacy with God. And every time we have to get down here in the normal world, we're like, ooh, I don't fit here. This is uncomfortable. I don't really like this, but I'll do it. It's good. Thank you, God, for the blessings. But I want to get back into your glory, and I want to get back into your presence. So he says in verse 10, my beloved spoke, this is out of the New King James. And he said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now you're going to love this next verse. Are you ready? I want you to read it out and read it with passion. Ready? For lo,
the winter is at hand.
You missed your point there. See, you should have made a declaration. How many want to make a faith declaration? Let's do it. Ready? Come on, say it. For lo, the winter is past. Amen. That feels good. Woo. I expect to see tulips blooming on my way to the east this morning. The rain is over and it's gone. The rain is over and it's gone. In other words, the storm clouds are lifting. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Let me just make this statement. Some of us have gone through hell on earth. But let me tell you something. Through is very important. And you are now on the other side. Now, because you're on the other side, you're still close in proximity to the experience that you've gone through. But just know this. Every moment walking with Jesus is giving you more separation from what used to be. And you're walking and entering into what now is. I think that's a good place to lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, He makes all things new. Amen. Woo. He tells us the fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Good, good, good. Oh, you all smell good this morning. Ooh, a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then he said, oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the clift, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is, and your face is,
lovely.
And I want you to read verse 15. Okay. Here we have this romantic dialogue, this appeal, this invitation to hang out with Jesus. He's calling you lovely. He's calling you beautiful, my bride, my dove. And then he says, verse 15, read it with me. Ready? Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. I want you to notice something. It's in the plural. Catch us the foxes. For our vines have tender grapes. He'd invited her to come into the cleft of the rock, to come to the cliffs, the set apart place. There, I'm going to protect you. There, I'm going to give you strategy, a plan. But you're going to have to trap the fox yourself. So Jesus is saying, you've got tender grapes growing. You've got blossoms blossoming, those nine fruit. It is so attractive in you. But know this, you and I are going to have to work together to catch the fox. I will point them out. This is on your answer sheet number 2. And he tells her, you lay the trap. How many are ready to go on a fox hunt? That's 3 of you. I know you don't want to wear those funny looking tights and the hat and get on the horse and blow the... I'm talking about a fox hunt that will change your destiny. It begins here, Psalm 139. David prayed this. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. You know, that's hard to say to someone. Search me. Know my heart. No hiding from you. No cover-ups. No false fronts anymore. Search my heart. Know my heart. Search me, O God. Try me. Know my anxieties. And see. Everybody say, see. When we invite the Holy Spirit to see into our heart, pull the veil back. And God, I want you to see in me. And what does he ask? See in me. Why? If there's any wicked way in me. And then lead me to everlasting life. Take me by the hand, Father, and lead me into everlasting life. Notice something about verse 14. He refers to the bride as his dove. Now, how many know that when God saw wickedness on the earth, it got to a point where it was overwhelming, and he said, I even regret that I created man. Noah, build me an ark. Noah built him an ark, gathered two of every kind of species, and on the ark they went. There was this great flood, water from the deep and above, that flooded the entire earth. Following the receding waters of this great flood, Noah opened up a window in the ark, and he let out a raven. He let out a dove. Interesting how the story unfolds. Fast forward with me to Matthew chapter 3, when the heavens opened up. Jesus was being baptized, and he comes up out of the water. Heavens open up. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit fell upon him like a dove. The dove fluttered and flew, looking for a place to rest. It went over the Old Testament prophets and kings and judges. The dove began to fly, looking for a place to rest. And in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. Now Jesus is saying this, come away with me, my dove. He refers to you and me as his dove. Did you know that when you walk with Christ, the church is Christ's dove and is returning to him as their Noah? You and I have found a place of rest. You and I have found the place of the power of God. It's in Christ and him alone. And we find this reunion of being his dove. Now, can I make a confession? I'm not going to be too transparent lest you think I was a sinner. That's silly. I come under the category, and so do you, of A-L-L. Spells. The church here makes a confession. She hears the invitation. She has his desire in his heart, and she wants to be his dove. But she says this in chapter 1 and verse 6. Look at Song of Solomon 1 and verse 6. She said, but my own vineyard I've not kept. She recognizes that in the admonition that God gave Adam, he put him in the garden. What did he say to him? I want you to tend and keep. Everybody say, tend, keep. Tend, keep. What does tend mean? Cultivate, grow it, fertilize it. Get these fruit operating in your life. Get these blossoms, your inward life. Let it begin to bloom. Let it begin to send off the fragrance of my person in you. I want you to tend it. I want you to cultivate it. Then he said, I want you to keep it. Keep means to guard it. Guard it. Why do you have to guard the garden? Because there is one like a fox who wants to enter the garden. Notice something about the fruit of this garden. Jesus is attracted to this fruit, right? Say right.
Right.
Thank you. But there is also another one attracted. It's called the fox. So the fox is attracted to the new growth on the vine. And Jesus is attracted to the aroma of the new growth on the vine. Get the picture. Jesus is now coming to the vine, which is your life and my life, to have intimacy and relationship with you. He's attracted to the inner growth, your passion, your separation, your redemption, your revelation, on and on and on, as those nine fruits, he's attracted. But so is the fox. The fox cannot destroy the vine. The fox cannot destroy the branch. But the fox can devour the fruit. That's why Jesus says to them after the discourse of the nine fruits and the love romance language, catch the foxes for us. Because not only is he destroying you, he's destroying us. Come on, church. Not only does the fox destroy your growth, it destroys the relationship of intimacy between you and your Jesus. You know, I thought about this for a lot of years. I said, God, there are some people that I have met that have never grown beyond their salvation. They got saved, but boy, they're as ornery today as they were 25 years ago. Now, don't look around, but do you know anybody like that? How many have ever met a Christian that you thought you'd rather not do business with? How many met a Christian neighbor that you thought you'd rather not live next door to? How many? No, I'm not going to go there. She says, listen, I did not tend and I did not keep the garden. In chapter 1 in verse 6. Now Jesus is saying, look, I need you to tend and I need you to keep this. This time, she says, we'll be different. And I know a lot of us have allowed growth to slip through our fingers. There have been times when you've had personal revival. I know it because I have. You've had a personal revival. You've had a hunger that's been aroused in your heart to press into God. You've turned off the TV. You've opened up your Bible. You put worship on. You came to church more. You began to serve. And suddenly, the fox came. And you're back to the TV and the Bible's closed and you're not attending church. And we go up and we go down and we go up and we go down on this thing called the carousel of normal Christianity. But how many know that this is not a day of normal Christianity? This is a day when God is causing His bride to mature and the emerging church is going to be seen in the earth. She says, this time's going to be different. I've slipped before, but this time's going to be different. He said, let your rising faith and your affection for Him be guarded. Because anytime there is new growth, there will be a fox. Number 4 on your answer sheet. Every time a cluster appears and begins growing, little foxes will be attracted. Now, I could have preached 20 or more little foxes. But I want to give you just a few. The Bible says in Psalm 2 and verse 15, if you could put that verse back up, there it is. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. The word catch is a Hebrew word, take, in many translations. It means this, to seize. This is in your answer sheet number 5. To seize, lay hold of. It's akhaz, A-C-H-A-Z. It means to seize and lay hold of. Jesus is telling His bride, seize, take hold of, before they spoil the vine. I'm going to give you the strategy. You're going to set the trap. You follow me? Jesus said, we need to catch these together because you can't do it on your own. You need my understanding. You need my wisdom. You need my insight. You need the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the plan. But you're going to set the trap. How many are ready to set some fox traps in your life? Amen? All right. Here we go. Little faith. That's on your answer sheet. A little fox is a little faith. Matthew 6:30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Here's a fox that steals away the vine. It's called fear, doubt, and unbelief. That God won't meet your need. I've fallen prey to it. That God won't give you enough to pay your bill. That God won't put clothes on your back. That God won't feed you. That God won't find you a job. That God's going to let you starve. It's little faith. God won't heal me. He'll heal her, but he won't heal me. God won't restore my marriage. God won't be able to do this. It's little faith. It's a little fox. And as you're growing in that aroma that's attracting Christ, that little fox called little faith comes in and steals away the new growth. Little faith. That's why the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Isn't that amazing? Yes. They were asking for increased faith. And he gave them a faith formula to combat little faith, to increase your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number two, on your answer sheet, little love. Little love will steal away the new growth in your life. Unforgiveness, hatred, prejudice, assumptions, bitterness, anger. All these things are little love. Watch this. Luke 7:47. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. One thing that you and I must do when we rise up in the morning is say, Father, I don't want to operate in little love. Because I have been forgiven much. He and she who knows they've been forgiven much will love much. But when you think you've only been forgiven a little because you're not bad as they are, and you walk in pride, you walk in little love. And little love will steal away the new growth that the Holy Spirit is trying to cultivate in your life. And what's at risk here is intimacy with Jesus. Oh, you can have church. You can have religion. You can have knowledge. But you just won't have the Son. I don't want church. I don't want religion. I don't want homology. I don't want those things. I want Jesus. So I realize that little love will steal away my intimacy with Him. Revelation 2:4. I have this against you. You've left your first love. Folks, I can go back to my first experience with Jesus. Love lifted me. Love drew me. Love made me. It didn't matter. I was in love. I work 11 to 7. It didn't matter. Church was at 11. I sleep a couple hours and come to church. I didn't tell the pastor I'd be there, but I have to work nights. Who cares when you're in love? Well, Tina, when we were engaged, about to be married, and I was living in Philadelphia, the naval base, and she was in Toledo. I don't have a car. I only have 48 hours off. But I'm hitchhiking. And I hitchhiked all the way from Philadelphia to Toledo to see her for 4 hours, had to get back in the car and hitchhike all the way back to be back at work on Monday at 7 o'clock. But after you're married a while, that's not even on your radar screen. You know you're not going to hitchhike anywhere. Woo! Come on, everybody say, little love,
little love
is a fox. Little leaven. Little leaven. L-E-A-V-E-N. Little leaven. 1 Corinthians 5:6. I'm hurrying. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? How many know that scripture to be true? Little leaven leavens the what? Whole lump. Now let me ask you a question. Is there anyone in here would like to have just a little bit of cancer?
No.
Why not? Just a little bit.
No.
You and I wouldn't want a little bit of cancer, yet we'll tolerate little sin. Don't shout me down. They say this in a certain part of the country that illustrates this truth. If you lie down with the dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. Number four, little tongue. James 3, 5 and 6, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. It's a what? Little member. It's a little fox. See how great a forest little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. What? This little tongue? And sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell? Okay, let me tell you folks, I am an experienced, tenured pastor. More sins are associated with the tongue than any other part of our being. Faithless words. Hateful words. Come on. Gossip. Lying. Should I go on? It's a little tongue. It's a little fox. You say, what do little tongues and little love, what does this have to do with my intimacy with Christ? They come in and steal new growth. I'm persuaded that large percentage of Christians who have never grown beyond their salvation experience have continued to neglect to tend and keep their garden. Not because the Holy Spirit wasn't drawing them into new growth. Not because there wasn't good preaching. You know, you could grow anywhere if you walk with the Holy Spirit. I've heard people say, I'm just not getting fed. Well, eat. Do you want me to bite it and chew it for you too? Huh? Come on. Do you read your Bible? Oh, no. I come to church and I want to be fed. Oh, just a spoonful of medicine? No, sugar helps the medicine go down. You want me to take a spoon and feed you? Really? Okay. Open up your mouth. Here it comes like a jet plane. Boom, 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 boom. Shoom. Oh, that was good. And church has become this huge nursery. This huge nursery. Look, our tongues, our love, our faith. I'm not going to allow these things to steal away the new growth in my life. I'm going to close with this scripture. Did you know that foxes are silent and solitary? They don't operate in packs. Isn't that funny? They come in one at a time. Did you know a fox is so sly? You know how it catches some of its prey? It lies on its side and pretends to be dead. Some will even put their feet up lay on their back, tongues going. And a bird will look at the carcass and say, dinner time. And flutter down next to the sly old fox. And just when it's getting its, what do you call those around the neck? David, you guys know. Anthony, bib. Just when... You know, just when they're putting their bib on, the sly old fox sucks in the tongue, jumps up on its feet, and bites the bird for lunch. See, some of us think we've got this controlled. I have a little anger, but you know what? It's under control. It's playing dead. Yeah. I mean, every once in a while I slip and have the porn problem on the internet, but you know what? It's dead right now. Everything's cool. Well, then disconnect your internet.
That's it.
Well, I don't need to do that. I mean, here's one more scripture. Did I say that yet? Okay, I really mean it. One more scripture. Look at somebody and say, this is his last scripture. Then look back at him and say, do you believe that? What'd they say? They believe it. Thank you, Jess, for having faith in me. 1 Peter 5:8. I want us to read it together. This scripture is really a course description for this morning's message. Are you ready? Some Christians will have trouble with the first two words, but try. Are you ready? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. One word I want to draw your attention to. Do you remember the game? Red Rover, send whoever over. You remember the song, Mother, May I? Yeah. Yes, you may. Take three baby steps. Yeah. Look at the word M-A-Y. That's very important in this scripture because it does not read C-A-N. That changes the whole definition of this scripture. Because if it said can, it would mean he already possesses the ability to do it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he can devour. So I can devour you and you and you and you, and if I want to, I will. But that's not what it reads. Aren't you glad? So quit empowering the devil. He has no ability. He has to ask, Mother, may I? Ah, I like that, Jackie. No, you may not. May implies permission. The devil has to ask your permission to eat your lunch. Now, why would you give the devil permission to eat your growth? Nobody in their right mind would do that. So how does he gain permission? Because obviously he's doing it, right? Here you go. What the Holy Spirit showed me. You give the roaring lion permission through the sins of omission. Omission. What does that mean? You're not in prayer. You're not in the Word. You're not a worshiper. You're not separated. You're not walking in the light. You know why people get deceived with an angel of light? Because they're so used to darkness, when they see an angel of light, they interpret that as being Jesus. But for you and I who walk in the light as He is the light, when an angel of light comes up, we go, you need new batteries. Because your light is dull compared to Him. I just came from the glory And you know what? His splendor is magnificent. It's like lightning flashes around his throne. You get behind me, Satan. See, I know that you're not a wolf in sheep's clothing because you've got a tailor-made suit on. You've got a tailor-made suit from Jesus. But if you're a wolf in sheep's clothing, that thing's too big on you, it doesn't fit right, it's sagging, all wrinkled, you didn't iron it, and you walk in and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and you go, oh, you're a fox. But when you see a true born-again Christian walking in, and they're clothed in a tailor-made, tailor-fit, customized robe of righteousness, they walk with such a regal pose. It's like, whoo, you know Jesus, don't you? Tend and keep, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the challenge that we all have. We're more aware of the lions than the bears. But it's those little foxes that'll get you every time. The little foxes. If I had another hour, I'd go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and I'd talk to you about David, who made a proclamation. He said, I killed the lion and I've killed the bear. I don't know what these uncircumcised Philistines are, but they're coming down too. Then David was presented with a series of little foxes. Think about it. Go to that scripture with this teaching in mind and recognize them. What was one of them? Wearing Saul's armor. Being empowered in something that didn't come from God. It's a little fox. There's a ton of them in that story, and I've really never seen them before until after I began studying this. And I thought, God, you know what? David killed the lion and the bear. If it was a lion and bear, that wouldn't have been a problem. Goliath wasn't even his challenge. It was the little foxes en route to the conquering of Goliath. How many would like to make a commitment this morning to catch the little foxes with Jesus? Would you like to make that commitment? Yes. I believe that if we will, 2014 will be a turnaround year for you and me. Yes. We'll begin to see signs, wonders as normal happenings in the kingdom. We'll begin to see people saved, healed, and delivered on a regular routine basis. We'll see the prophetic released. We'll see people saved. We'll see cities transformed. I believe that. I believe cities are going to literally be transformed by the power of God. I believe revival is coming to a town near you. I really believe that, church. There's just too many of us now that are hungry. That's why we want to do this hunger conference. And this is really weird. St. Luke's, Pastor Ames, from what I understand, is from the Anglican Church. Have you ever been to church with Anglicans before? Think about it. C.J. Matthews, I'm not really sure his affiliation, but it's different than St. Luke's. Matter of fact, an Amish pastor called this past week, a friend of mine. Did I tell you about it? He heard that they operated in this revival, and he called him. He said, look, I don't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit is moving in my congregation. We've never had this before. I'm an Amish pastor. What do I do? Are you hungering yet? And if you're not hungering, guess what? God will find somebody that is. Whether he's in an Amish, Anglican, doesn't matter. Denomination, non-denominational. I say, Lord, don't pass me by. Don't let this revival pass me by. God, I do not want to have normal Christianity. I want to come and run away with you. I want to hide in the cleft of the rock. Yes. With our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. You see, it's in that cleft. It's in that place that God breaks things down so we can be released to be who He made us to be. I think today we need to all make that assertion. We need to make all that statement that, God, I'm coming to the cleft. I'm coming to the cliff. I'm coming to the place where I want You to break me, mold me, use me. God, I lift up my life to You today. I leave what I haven't done and I embrace fully what I know You want from me, God. Thank You, Lord. Can you make that your prayer?
Open up your heart.
Thank You, Lord. Just close your eyes for a minute. Worship Him. Lift your hand. Lift your heart. Come on.
Open up your heart.
Open up our hearts, Jesus. Yeah. Thank You, Lord. Open them up, Jesus.
So come away.
Come away.
With me. Come away with me. It's not too late.
It's not
too late. It's never too late for You.
Not too late for You and me. Come on.
I have a plan for You.
I got a plan.
I have a plan for You. It's gonna be wild. It's
gonna be wild.
Great.
Come on, get ready.
It's gonna be full of
me.
So come away with me. Come away with me. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's never too late for You. I have a plan for You. I have a plan for You. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be full.
I got a feeling it's gonna be a Holy Ghost party.
So come away.
Come away
with me.
Yeah.
Come away with me.
Yeah.
It's not too late.
Never too late.
It's not too late. It's never too late for You. I have a plan for You. I have a plan for You. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be full of me.
We're gonna come into the presence of the Lord in a minute. I'm gonna ask Pastor Troy to come and close the service, receive our morning tithe and offering. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for some people who want to get kingdom wild. I mean, the world knows how to get wild, but how many of God's people are ready to get kingdom wild? I mean, let it all out for God. Amen. I am. Tonight, all of you that are 18 to 35 in building 4, exit 187 with Pastor Adam and the team, it's going to be off the hook. Come on out and get wild for Jesus. Amen. It's going to be a great time. I'm looking for people that'll say, you know what? I like Lou. He's a great guy, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here because I'm committed to helping Church on the North Coast usher in revival in Northeastern Ohio. Don't make it about me. It's not about me or Pastor Troy or any of us. Make it about the church. Make it about Ecclesia, the called out ones of Northeastern Ohio, and say, I'm going to make a covenant that I'm not going to the right, I'm not going to the left. I'm going to join forces with the church until revival comes to Lorain and Cleveland, Ohio. Can I get an amen? Amen.
Open up your heart. Let me in. Open up your heart.
So, you can be seated for just a second. We want to receive this morning's tithe and offering, and
And as we do that, I just want to share this story with you. A few weeks ago, we had a soaking service in Valley View, and you know, it was just an incredible experience. And I was over in the corner, and as I was praying, I looked down inside of this like little dividing wall that had a bunch of black rocks in it, and it was dark in there. It was so dark, and the rocks were black, and I put my hand down as I was praying, and my hand landed on a set of keys. And I thought, well, that's odd. Somebody laid their keys here, Then I thought, well, no, they probably hid them there. As they came through the door, they probably just hid them there, and then just kind of left them, and thought, I'll get them on the way out. Nobody will touch them. But I thought it was strange, and I just went on about my business. And I didn't recognize anything at the moment. I didn't realize that in that moment, something happened. It was so subtle, almost camouflaged. I didn't recognize it. A week later, I preach out in Valley View. Get done. I walk down. First person I talk to is Sean Chambers. First words out of his mouth is this: "Hey, brother, pray that I find my keys." 7 days later, "Hey, brother, pray that I find my keys." First person I talked to, first words out of his mouth. And in that moment, suddenly, I was like, this is going to seem so strange, but I know where your keys are. He said, "No, you don't. I lost those keys. We have to pay like a bunch of money to have new keys made." And I said, "No, listen, come with me. I want to show you where your keys are." I take them. I walk him over to the little half wall with the rocks in it, and I pick up his keys. I put them in his hand, and I just walk away like a boss. like a boss. I was just like that's what Jesus does, dog. Like, I was just he was just like, he looked at me like, "How did you do that?" I was like, "Asking you shall receive, man. This is the kingdom. Like, stuff just starts happening when, you know, you just had to ask the right, you know." But I tell you that story to tell you this: heaven waits for you. Heaven's there and heaven's waiting for you. And as you sow financially this morning, I want you to realize what you're sowing into. Ty, I believe heaven's waiting. I believe it's there, and I believe that if we just ask for it. See, all Sean had to do was ask for it. "Where are my keys?" And you get in the right atmosphere sometimes, and all you have to do is to say, "God, where is the healing for Pansy, right? Where's the healing at? Where is this at?" And if we could just realize that heaven's there, if we could just learn to kind of move the rocks around in life and look underneath stuff, but heaven is available. When Jesus planted himself on the cross and plunged it into the earth, he injected heaven there. Heaven came into the earth, and it's right there. It's the seed beneath the surface. And if we'll just dig a little bit, we can find heaven. I ask you this morning, as you sow financially, what you're sowing into is the seeds of heaven that exist underneath the surface. And as you sow into them, they're going to reveal themselves. They're going to reveal themselves in the earth. So as you give, understand, where's your keys? Where's your keys? Let's sow. Father, we thank you for every seed, every financial seed sown in this house. We curse the back of poverty. We break it in Jesus' name. In this region, we declare revival. Revival is a kingdom. Revival is a kingdom. And we sow to the kingdom of revival in this region. We declare heaven be revealed in the lives of those who sow. Heaven is revealed into the lives of those who sow towards it. Heaven be revealed in your life. Healing, deliverance, miracles. Heaven be revealed in your life today. In Jesus' name, amen. and amen. Now, as you sow, I want to ask you this question. I got to be honest. I keep notes on Facebook and Twitterland. As pastor, I don't keep my notes on pieces of paper. I keep my notes there so I can always go back. Chronologically, I can walk back and you can kind of see where I've been. If you ever wanted to know where I've been, just take a gander at my Facebook. And so as I was taking notes today and posting on Facebook, I saw somebody, a dear friend of mine, who said this: I've lost 12 chickens to the foxes. And when I read that, I thought, God, there are many of us who have lost a lot to the foxes. And what I would challenge you to do today . If sin aches your soul, if sin plagues your heart, if sin is there and it's causing you to be so removed, if you're losing your provision because of the foxes in your life, set a trap for the fox today. Set a trap for the fox today by doing this, by saying, God, I'm coming back and I'm gonna live my life with two hands wrapped around the cross. I'm gonna live my life. You know, it's impossible to hold on to the cross and hold on to something too. It's one or the other. You're either gonna grab hold of the cross with all of your might, or you're gonna grab hold of it with one hand and then something else with the other. And what I'd encourage you to do today is just get lost in Him. Grab hold of the cross and live your life at the foot of the cross. And that's where the fox won't come near the cross. They're afraid of the cross. The fox won't come near the chicken coop if the cross is planted there. He won't. So as we close today, what I would invite you to do is stand to your feet and make that declaration today that you're going to grab a hold of the cross. And we're going to close in worship. If you need to go, you can go. But the altar ministers are going to come forward now. And for those of us who need prayer, if you've never given your life to Christ, I would encourage you to do it today, to make that decision today. What I need at the altar right now is young, old, and everything in between. So if you're a youth leader, if you're, you can get qualified later, but right now, so whoever you are, like, you know how to lead people to Jesus, come forward. We need you up here. And so today, what we're going to do is, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never surrendered your life, if you know that sin aches your soul and there's this weight of sin that you carry, like the weight that's on my back right now, if you're conscious of it, what I would say to you is, don't waste another day living, carrying that weight. Surrender it today. There is a remedy for the sin that plagues and weighs us down. It is Jesus. He said, if you would call out to me, I would rescue you. Pray this prayer with me, all of us together. Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I'm a sinner and I feel the weight of it. I call out to you today. You said you'd save me. Now rescue me from this. I believe that you died for me. And that I will live in you. Come and abide in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. What I would encourage you to do, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, is to come forward. We want to give you some tools that are going to help you fight the foxes in your life. For the rest of us, I would encourage you to just lift your hands and connect as we worship again. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. God bless you as you go.